I'm not sure which of my emotions is stronger right now, fear or fury. I'm terrified for my daughter on chemo, my little grandson, and all the other people whose health is already compromised here in Duluth, where we're over 80 miles from the nearest fires, and for all the people even closer, and all the people hundreds of miles away who are also breathing in this hazardous, smoky air. Imagine the damage to wildlife, the nestling birds and mammals too little to escape. Some of the adults and older young near the periphery of the many fires certainly survived, but 77,000 acres of burned area is a lot of valuable habitat for a lot of creatures, not even counting what the smoke is doing both in the vicinity of the fires and spreading so widely from the actual burns. As terrified as I am of what all this is doing right now and what it bodes for the future, I'm also furious. The Duluth News Tribune ran a front-page headline, "Climate Change Drives Heat Wave. High temperatures throughout Northland more likely to occur due to climate change." Like, duh, I learned in college more than a half a century ago that this was coming, but during the 45 years we've lived in Duluth, this exact newspaper has always treated climate change as controversial, presenting both sides when only one side had actual facts. Scientists at Exxon learned about the certainty of climate change if we kept burning fossil fuels long ago. And even as energy corporations, the Koch brothers, and so many other rich and powerful people suppressed the information as well as they could for decades, they used it to benefit their own bottom line and to groom politicians, oligarchs, and that inside club of billionaires to ridicule climate change as a hoax. Ronald Reagan, the affable and handsome spokesman for General Electric, caught the eyes and funding of corporate America. They made him governor of California and president of the United States. And as soon as he reached office, he famously tore down the solar panels Jimmy Carter had installed on the White House and turned the thermostat up again, telling the country that there would be no sweaters worn in his White House. These same forces destroyed Nobel Prize winner Al Gore's political career and even smeared Greta Thunberg. Right this very moment, my tax dollars and yours are being used by the Trump administration to pay energy companies billions of dollars in refunds to cancel offshore wind turbine projects and abandon their federal leases. This president frequently still refers to climate change as a hoax, scam, and con job. As the rest of the world grows more and more independent of the fossil fuels that have put so much carbon into our atmosphere and put us all in such dire jeopardy, the United States is moving backward. The Duluth News Tribune article did not mention that. I may be filled with fear and fury, but while I was out in my backyard a few minutes ago, a female monarch butterfly alighted in my milkweed and allowed me to watch her for at least 3 minutes as she drank from newly opening blossoms. Her delicate tongue, as fine as gossamer, probed each tiny flower individually. When she flew off, I went upstairs to my office where many of my African violets and Streptocarpus plants are in full bloom. My pair of cardinals, the male recognizable because he's missing a bunch of feathers on the left side of his nape and head, is still coming to my window feeders. Chickadees are also visiting, and baby hairy and downy woodpeckers and northern flickers are still chasing their parents everywhere. There is so much loveliness in this world, despite the horrors. Even the ashy dust coating my normally shiny box elder leaves is giving them a soft, silvery sheen. I can't quite capture this with my camera, but they're genuinely lovely in an eerie, haunting way. Ever since that one cluster of bee balm started flowering, I've been finding monarch eggs and caterpillars in the nearby milkweed. Monarchs lay their eggs exclusively on milkweed, but the adults need nectar even when milkweed isn't blooming. So I suspect the bee balm is what attracted them to my garden in the first place. Now that the milkweed is also blossoming, I may start seeing even more eggs and caterpillars. At this very moment, at least two eggs are close to hatching. Not one of my tiny caterpillars has survived to pupate so far this year, or even to get bigger than about an inch long. I didn't understand why they were disappearing until I found one of my house wren parents probing through the milkweed. Toxins in milkweed make monarch caterpillars increasingly toxic themselves as they grow, but these were still apparently too small to be a problem for the birds. I'm hoping my house wrens will have at least one more brood this year, but hoping just as fervently that they'll look further afield for baby food. I feel sad but sort of philosophical about those tiny caterpillars. In the natural world, everything is food for something else. But in that natural world, few species eat their own kind, and usually only when their very survival is at stake. It's the billionaires, ostensibly human beings too, who think nothing of harming and outright killing the rest of us and destroying the earth we all need in the name of their quarterly profits. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.